Those of you that have been around here a while probably remember Brother Hill telling the story of George Washington Carver, that black, he turned out to be scientist, I guess, down in the South, and he prayed and asked the Lord to help him discover the secrets in a peanut. And then he locked himself in a room with a kitchen, I guess it was, probably. And about 40-some hours later, he came out and he discovered 40-some things that you could do with a peanut, you know. And one of the things that came out of that was plastic. But he trusted the Lord. He was relying upon the Lord to show him these things. It's kind of like what we've been doing in a little bit, if you think about it. We've kind of locked ourselves here in a Sunday school room, so to speak, for the last several months, looking at one verse, or two verses of Scripture, one sentence in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It's kind of like peeling back layers off of an onion, and there's more there. And so we've been digging into that. In the last couple of weeks, we've referenced a lot of things that have to do with the Word of God and how there's a number for the Word of God. It's a number 37. And so the number 37 points to the Word of God. And this is the Word of God, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And in Hebrews 12, 1, we find 42 words. And in Hebrews 12, 2, we find 38 words. And 42 and 38 is 80 words. And Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, 80 again is the number that points to the strength of God. And it is the strength of God in our lives that will make us a full overcomer. The strength of God in our lives is empowered by the power of the Holy Ghost. We need that in our lives too. Now, the last portion of Hebrews 12:1, the last of these 42 words in the first verse of Hebrews 12:1, says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And we're going to spend quite a bit of time, the Lord willing, talking about this. There's a lot of things in this little phrase. First of all, let me mention that we said that there's 42 words in Hebrews 12:1. And the number 42 is the number that points to a heavenly appearance. So we must ask the question, are you too looking for the heavenly appearance of our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, like our apostle Paul encourages us to do? So let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Those saints of this church age, hopefully you and me, who are looking for the soon coming heavenly appearance of our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, are doing so with this encouragement in Paul's mind as he writes, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I was talking to Arthur a little bit after choir practice this morning about our race course each one of us has. It's different, but the goal is the same. To win Christ. We have a lot of obstacles, a lot of tests, a lot of trials, and they're different for each of us. But, that's the way it is. You don't read of any of the Old Testament where there's a faith going through the same tests and trials that the previous one went through. Everyone was different because God gets the biggest kick out of doing things that are impossible in those lives of people who will put their faith and trust in Him. Now, The reason we were talking about 37 in the last couple of weeks was the fact that there are 37 "let us" statements made by Paul in the Word of God. But of all the 37 "let us" statements that he made, there is only one "let us run" declaration. And that is found here in Hebrews 12:1. Now this "let us" is really the third "let us" brought out here in Hebrews 12:1. The first one was to let us lay aside every weight. And the word "lay aside," we learned, was a apothemi in the Greek. It means to lay aside, to put off from oneself, to put away, to cast off, to put aside, to lay apart the weights and hindering encumbrances that hold back a potential full overcomer from being a race course runner. You don't see any runners in a race with the intent on winning than encumbering themselves with extra burdens and extra weights. Now, I did see a story on the news last night of this thing called the Ironman thing they're doing up in Boulder. And they swim and they ride a bike and they run. And this guy is encumbering himself with a burden, a weight, an extra weight. It was a handicapped friend of his who he's hauling along on all these journeys. And his intention is not to win, but to finish, you know. And you could see the love that this man had for this other man in going through all these tests and testings and getting ready for this event. Well, we're not running with others. We're running to win Christ. And so we encourage one another, but that's all we can do, you know. But Paul kind of encourages all of us as he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But the us is individuals also. So we here encourage each other to run this way, okay? Now, so there's only one let us run declaration. And we were first told to lay aside, let us lay aside every weight. And then the second "let us" statement is not really stated, but rather implied in Hebrews 12:1, where he writes to also let us lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. And we found, as we went through this, that the sin that thus so easily besets us is unbelief. And unbelief as a sin is defined in Romans 14:23, where we read, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, what is the main overall purpose or encouragement in Hebrews 12:1 and 2? It's to live by faith. It's, you know, the Old Testament worthies of faith in Hebrews 11 all live by faith. The New Testament worthies of faith will live by faith too. And that's the encouragement that's here in these 80 words of Hebrews 12:1 and 2. And, but all men do not have faith. We know that. That's a scripture. I think that's in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. And what Paul wrote there in Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, those eight words in Romans 14:23 are eight words at the end of that verse. They point the way for the full overcomer. And eight, of course, is a number that oftentimes points to qualities or things or something that points to something for the bride of Christ, okay? Now, on the other hand, we should also note that unbelief has defeated many a potential full overcomer. Well, I don't believe that. Well, then, that's quite an obstacle that you've hit in your race course. Okay. The third let us statement in Hebrews 12:1 is found in this portion we're now studying. This let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And this let us run declaration, as we've noted, is unique in Scripture, for there is only one let us run statement found in our King James Version of the Bible. And before we go any further, ask yourself and think about it. How many pastors expound upon what this let us run declaration means? There ain't too many. We know a few, but the majority of those that even attempt to expound upon this, they fail to realize the deepest meaning which Paul intends for all of us to see, which is, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, ever pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that is a statement that's found in Philippians 3:14. A few verses earlier in Philippians 3:8, Paul defined what the prize is, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that in Philippians 3:8, he says, that I may win Christ. That is the prize. Now think back when you were in school. And I know that takes some of us back a long time. A real long time. And they had a thing back when we went to school called track. How many people went out for track? Well, some of you did. Some of you were probably pretty good at it. And my brother could high jump 6'8". And he'd take a leap from about here to that box of Kleenex. And he'd clear the bar at 6'8". I'd take a leap from clear across the room here and jump as high as I could. And I'd trip over the box of Kleenex here because I had a vertical leap of about 6 inches. I don't think I could clear a 3-foot pole. But, you know, I didn't go out for track. Nah. I could have, I suppose. I kind of trained to go for cross country, and I was in the group all by myself that finished in between the group that was way out ahead and the group that was way out behind. So, you know, what good does that do? There's no sense in that, you know. Nowadays they give you a trophy for being a participant, but, you know, I wasn't going to win anything. So some people went out for track and some people didn't because they didn't want to be race course runners for whatever reason. Well, the same is true in Christendom. Not every believer wants to be a race course runner. Consequently, they cannot latch on to let us run with patience the race that is set before us because they don't want to, period. And you can say it this way, not every believer wants to let the Lord have his way in their heart and life. And you know this to be true. And you might have fought that in years past in your own life. In Paul's gospel, we find that there is a race course on which all potential full overcomers must run. And in 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul tells us this: Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So if you're going to run, it says, so run that you may obtain, that you may win the prize. In other words, so we see here in this little portion that Paul encourages to run and to diligently run to so run that you may obtain. And to obtain what? The prize for the full overcomer is winning Christ as bridegroom. Now, how many teach that? You know, the whole church is not the bride of Christ. Okay, so that's what the most places teach. So winning Christ as bridegroom cannot be achieved without knowing Paul's gospel, the 100 chapters that we emphasize so much. And our beloved apostle then is encouraged to write in Hebrews 12:1 to let us run. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And the Greek word translated run here in Hebrews 12:1, it's the same Greek word that was translated run twice in 1 Corinthians 9:24, which we just read. It's the Greek word trecho. It's number 5143 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And here in Hebrews 12:1, it is used in the present active tense with the meaning to keep on running the race course. You remember he told the Galatians you did run well in the past? Well, what hindered you? Why did you stop? No, we're to go forward. Go forward. That comes up a lot in this study. Go look up those go forward scriptures that are found in the Bible. And that's how you make progress, by going forward. And you go forward a lot of times simply by faith. That's how the Old Testament full overcomers became full overcomers. Now, if you'll study this Greek word trecho out, you'll find it interesting to note that the Holy Ghost encouraged the Apostle Paul to write this Greek word trecho in 8 different verses. Here we go again with the number 8 again, kind of a subtle reminder of why these things are there. I'm going to, without reading them, give you the 8 verses where you'll find this Greek word trecho. The first time is in Romans 9:16, and I'm speaking only of the times that Paul uses this word. So that was Romans 9:16. The second 2 verses are both found in 1 Corinthians 9, one we just read, 9:24, and 1 Corinthians 9:26. There's 2 verses in Galatians. Galatians 2:2 and Galatians 5:7. Paul uses this Greek word trecho in Philippians 2:16. And then the Greek word trecho is also found in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, but there it's not translated as run, it is translated as course, like in race course. Okay, and that was 2 Thessalonians 3:1. And then the 8th time we find it in Paul's gospel record is here in Hebrews 12:1. And so again, 8 is a number of the bride, and we kind of see then as a hint or as a underlining or something that could be highlighted, that the bride of Christ will be a race course runner. So let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, this Greek word trecho, found here, T-R-E-C-H-O, trecho, is found here in Hebrews 12:1 as a further encouragement to run the race in a highly focused fashion, devoting all of one's effort in overcoming all obstacles to obtain the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this is not a self-effort, okay? And I hope we all realize that. And there's only one way that we can all run in such a fashion, and that is with the help of the Holy Ghost. What was the Holy Ghost sent here for? To help us. He was sent here to us of this church age for the express purpose of helping us in all aspects of our lives to be full overcomers. In all aspects of our lives to be full overcomers. And he was sent to help prepare us to rule and reign with Christ Jesus as his wife. So, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want to recall again what Jesus told his disciples concerning the Holy Ghost. He told them that the Holy Ghost will be a comforter, another comforter, but a comforter. And that's found in John 14:16 and John 14:26. Not only would the Holy Ghost be a comforter, he would be a teacher of all things. John 14:26. Not only would he be a teacher of all things, he would be a guide into all truth. John 16:13. All truth points to Jesus. You want to know about Jesus? You need to know all truth. You need the Holy Ghost. He would also be, and here's an important one, a revealer of things to come. And you find that in John 16:13-15. You want to know what's going to happen next? Well, the Holy Ghost can help you with that. And we're talking about spiritual things, okay? Not what stock to buy that's going to go up 500% by Friday. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the Holy Ghost would be a powerful enabler. A powerful enabler. That's found in Acts 1:8 if you really dig into it. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Isn't that a powerful enabling? For what? For everything. The power to be a full overcomer, right? I got a note in my Bible. I read it before, but I'll read it here. God has given us everything to the end that we may be joint heirs with his Son, Jesus. And one of the things that we were given is the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, Paul's life's testimony and Paul's gospel record reveals that the Holy Ghost is the energy source of every high calling race course runner. You ain't going to do this on your own. The purpose of receiving the Holy Ghost is not to speak in tongues, believe it or not. That's just the sign and evidence of having received the Holy Ghost. The purpose of receiving the Holy Ghost is to have living in your life the power that is required to be a full overcomer. So again, we repeat what's said in Acts 1:8, that ye shall receive power, this dunamis, this dynamite power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it is by the mighty dunamis power of the Holy Ghost that we can be fully guided into all truth and be shown by the Holy Ghost and revealed by the Holy Ghost the deeper things of God. Now, Kevin goes and preaches to those in prison and tells them about the Holy Ghost and tells them they can receive power. And they want it because they need the power to escape prison. Some of them have actually told him that. Right, Kevin? Yeah. And that's not the purpose of the Holy Ghost. That's not the kind of power we're dealing with here. Yeah. It's an inner working in our spirit. But it's a good gift that God gave us, the Holy Ghost. Luke 11:13 says this, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" If you don't have the Holy Ghost in your life, have you ever asked for him? Ask for the Holy Spirit in your life? Acts 19:2, Paul asked those disciples, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Knowing that they didn't receive it when they believed. And those yearning to be a full overcomer, those who want God's best, you might want to ask yourself, is that me? Is that me? Do I fit in that group? And I know you do. Those who are running to the race to win Christ as bridegroom, they all want, and we all want, the same thing, to win Christ, and by faith, God will let them have it. I mean, he'll really let you have it. I mean, you're going to really have it. I mean, you're going to have it in a lot of ways that you didn't want to have it, but that's part of this race. But he will, in the end, let us have it. But each one of us will have his own God-designed special race course full of obstacles to overcome. And there's only one way you're going to be able to overcome these obstacles. By faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, all over again. And these obstacles are carefully placed there by the author and finisher of what? Our faith. Go down and look at Hebrews 12:2. That's Jesus. You're going to have to be looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. The whole thing's about faith, isn't it? And he simply wants us to live our lives by faith in him. That's what is the highlight of Hebrews 12:1-2. Those like Paul who fight a good fight and keep the faith and finish their particular race course will be those found in the Bride of Christ, the full overcomers of this church age. The Bride of Christ hath made herself ready, there in Revelation 19:7, by yielding to the divine guidance of the Holy Ghost in her life. So, having stated all this, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, as is stated there in Hebrews 12:1. Now, this is also powerful Holy Ghost inspired encouragement that Paul wrote here. But before we move on looking at this some more, I want you to realize that the Apostle Paul is the only one of the apostles who writes us like a personal trainer, encouraging us to be race course runners. Try to think who else encourages us along these lines. It's our Apostle Paul. He not only encourages us to be race course runners, he explains to us the goal and informs us of the many obstacles we will face, which can only be overcome by faith in God. We should note and have noted, and I think Ray Quintana one time preached a sermon on 27 different things that Paul's gospel has that's unique. And there's probably more than that, but we will note that Paul's gospel message is unique. It was given Paul to fill up the word of God, as is noted in Colossians 1:25. Paul's gospel was given him by the revelation of Jesus Christ, as is noted in Galatians 1:12. Paul's gospel message was given to establish us, as is noted in Romans 16:25. The gospel of the Apostle Paul was given to show us mysteries not made known in the other ages, and that's found in Ephesians 3:1-10. The gospel of the Apostle Paul was given to us to build us up and to bring us to our inheritance. You find this in Acts 20:32. The gospel of the Apostle Paul was given to tell us about the race course, which we read about here in Hebrews 12:1, and other places also that we read this morning, 1 Corinthians 9:24, 26. The gospel of Paul was given to tell us about the race course, to run on the race course, and to fight the good fight of faith. Again, that's found in 1 Corinthians 9:24-26, and also 2 Timothy 4:7. The race course is a lot of times is a fight. They're involved. I don't like to fight, but these are spiritual battles. Why did Paul write to us about the armor of the believer in Ephesians 6? Because you're going to have some fights. The gospel of Paul was given to tell us that Christ is the prize for winning the race, as is noted in Philippians 3:14, which we read this morning. And the gospel of Paul was given for the express purpose that the bride of Christ would be prepared and ready to marry Jesus, as is stated in Revelation 19:7. So again, he writes this encouragement to us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, these concluding 12 words of Hebrews 12:1 that we are studying are a treasure chest of encouragement to the race course running bridal saint who wishes to make him or herself ready to marry Jesus. There are many components involved in running this race, and we have spent years in just Sunday school here covering these thoughts. Here in Hebrews 12:1, Paul emphasizes the prospect that is set before us. In the Greek word translated set before us is prokemi. It's number 4295 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. Okay, prokemi. He wants the spelling prokeimai. And it's a word used 5 times in New Testament scripture. So since it's found 5 times, it speaks to us of grace. And the focal point of grace is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came to us full of grace and truth, as the Apostle John wrote in John 1:14 and John 1:17. Well, who is the focal point of all full overcomers? Isn't it our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The prize at the end of the race that is set before us? Prokemi is first found in 2 Corinthians 8:12 in these words. For if there be first prokemi, a willing mind. Okay. Now, I realize it didn't have to do there with running the race, but it does in the fact that you have to have a willing mind if you're going to run this race. And we should note that all full overcomers will have a willing mind if they are to run with patience the race that is set before us. The second time we find the Greek word prokemi is in Hebrews 6:18. And there we are encouraged to lay a hold upon the hope set before us, prokemi, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us he entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's Hebrews again, 6:18 through 20. The Cliff Notes version, the hope set before us is Jesus, okay? The third and fourth time we find the Greek word prokemi is in our 80-word sentence of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us in Hebrews 12, 1. In Hebrews 12, 2, we see that Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, prokemi, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, the Greek word we find with the Greek word prokemi referencing those first with a willing mind whose focus is upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the hope set before us and the focal point of the race course runner, who is running with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I guess that's a good place to end for today, since we're out of time.